Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's your favorite time of week. You download the crazy sheet, you get you something cold to drink, and you get ready to talk about some college football with Scott and Mark. I'm Mark, and I'm here in the podcasting studio, otherwise known as my backyard, and my man Scott, I can tell from his background, is sitting at home already. How the hell are you, brother?
Man, I am. Already been out on the road, back a little bit this week, so it's good. Man, last week was a good week. Even the games we missed, Mark, it's weird. I didn't feel like we really missed. I felt like Washington Wazoo was the only game I really missed all weekend. I mean, the upset games, I mean, North Carolina State obviously won and drilled them, and I mean drilled them, if you didn't watch much of that game. South Carolina scoop and score, oh, my God. I mean, that was the difference of the game. Man, yeah. It really was. I mean, it was a huge deal. And then Florida State is right there in it. Until the very end, I still thought they had a chance to win. And then boom, that last 10 minutes, you know, was the difference in the ball game. But, Florida State playoff, all of that, man, you cannot watch that ball game and think that Florida State's one of the best four teams in the country right now. And I hate it for them. It sucked because if they go undefeated, they deserve to be in it. Somebody ought to have to beat them, but they're going to go get their brakes beat off. I mean, can you imagine them trying to play Georgia? Or no. Michigan, either one,
and, you know,
whoever they want to put.
And I'm not 100% sure Louisville's that good, but I think they can get by them. I mean, Louisville laid a complete egg last week against Kentucky, but they've had breaks all season long. I think they're a very good team. Their over-under win total was at 8.5. That was a nice cash ticket. And they played way above expectations. I think Jeff Brohm's a good coach, but I don't know how I'm going to play that game this week. I haven't decided yet. Ohio, to me, was a biggest letdown of the season in regards to the MAC. I thought this team was really loaded and had a good chance to make a run through the MAC and just never really could get out of neutral. I mean, after that San Diego State game that they choked out early on, they never could get it going, and we missed that one as well. But let's talk about real quick before we jump, because I know it's conference weekend. We'll get into new coaching hires and changes. There's a couple we can mention. But the West Coast, man – how bad is USC and UCLA's rosters compared to what they're about to step into when they get into the Big Ten next year? Because they're nowhere close, in my opinion.
No doubt about it. And I don't think people realize, I mean, everybody thinks about the Big Three when you talk about the Big Ten being physical, but this is the second most physical league in the country, and it's not really close. The SEC and the Big Ten, they all pound on you. Even the bad teams, for the most part, pound on you. And everybody's thinking about the Big Three, but, man, you got Iowa. They're going to get after you. Rutgers gets after you physically. I mean, there's some teams. Look, Jonathan Smith's going to have Michigan State getting after you physically. I mean, there's some teams that get after it. Nebraska's getting better. I think Rule will get that turned around. I do. I think this may turn into a problem. Oregon and Washington are by far the two schools of those guys that have got – that look to be the most ready, and Oregon probably the most from a depth standpoint, of being more ready to jump right into that deal. So I think I think there may be a wake up call. It's fascinating to see USC hires officially as their defense coordinator. You know, a lot of names bouncing around out there on that. Going back to last week, the Mississippi State Ole Miss game, we called it at 10. That game got all the way down to 8.5. I'm sure that's probably where most people took it. So you got to cover. Kiffin played scared to me. And I know the offensive line was beat up. But, man, he never tried to push the football down the field. And I was shocked by that. They ran the football significantly better than I thought they would have, which would have allowed them the opportunity. They just look scared, Bucky Watson blitzing with the patchwork offensive line, that they just didn't want to put the quarterback in a bad position. So Ole Miss was just clearly the better football team. That was the bottom line in that game. James Madison came out, you called it, Pound City on Coastal. So overall, really good week last week. I enjoyed the games last week, just watching them happen. A lot of the coaching carousel getting done. We already mentioned Jonathan Smith, Levy coming over from Oklahoma, going to Mississippi State. I'll be interested to see how that works out. I told a friend of mine I'd be shocked if we didn't end up with him as our head coach 2 days after we let go of Arnett. And he asked me why. I said, well, this guy comes from Oklahoma. People tend to do what they know. And boom, there it was. I still think Willie Fritz is the right hire. Not that I don't think Levy may do a good job, because he's exciting, makes a lot of good things happen. Willie Fritz is great. Interested to see what, there's a lot of smoke that they had, that Houston had some interest in Fritz. But now you're seeing some love pop up for Texas Tech, the old coach of the Cardinals and at Tech.
Cliff Kingsbury?
Cliff Kingsbury.
Oh, my God.
Might have some interest in the Houston job. No. So let me tell you something. I think there'll be two schools. If you got a chance to hire Fritz, you're an idiot. If you don't, Fritz's daughter lives in Houston. They'd be nuts to not do it. So anyway, that's my opinion on the coaching carousel. I do have one thing to say about A&M. Elko is probably, I think, where most people thought they might land. When you look at coaching supplements, what they're paying him, what they're paying Jimbo to go away, as big as their budget is, they are going to be, just in football coaches' salaries, at between 10 and 12% athletic budget.
Oh, yeah.
Just FYI, their athletic budget's in excess of $200 million. That is a lot when you got a big number like that. And man, they are paying out the nose. The deal on Stoops and the revolt, when you start letting your fan base run your deal, you're an idiot. But I do want to say, I posted this on Twitter, Jimmy Sexton, baby, he controls college football, and make no mistake about it. And he works these athletic directors, just grinds them. I mean, there is a I'm led to believe that basically he called us, told us when the search started, here's who you can get and here's how much it'll cost. And about a weekend was like, these numbers are all going up. So do you want to talk or do you not?
You've completely, I don't give a shit about anybody else you've talked about. The most interesting hire all week took place in Vietnam, when they bring Bobby Petrino back to coach there. And I hope that motherfucker rides out on his first game on a motorcycle just to get the crowd revved up and gets it going.
If he came out on a motorcycle, and how odd is it that The Athletic runs an article about that whole fiasco? And I had no idea that he was coaching football at Aledo. And is married. I knew he married that chick. I did know that the fiance, who was the strength coach, I did know they got married, but I didn't know they lived in Aledo and are, you know, back, you know, this close to Vietnam, I guess would be what I said. Yeah, that is wild on Petrino. I can't wait to see how that shakes out. Are they going to be able to get anybody? I bet their NIL number's bigger, but I can't believe they're keeping Pittman the way they ended the season. It's really bad. How about Auburn? How do you look as shitty as they looked against New Mexico State and come out and do that? And how about Bama? I mean, for people that don't watch Alabama and haven't been watching them for three decades or four decades, really five decades, because I've been watching them since I can remember, that have not sat in stadiums and watched Alabama win countless games like that, I don't know what to tell you.
It's the only thing to me is weird stuff happens at Jordan-Hare. In the Bama game, the Georgia game, okay.
Look, that bounce, the Georgia game where it bounces off the kid's head. Well, that was at Jordan-Hare too.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's just weird stuff to me happens in Jordan-Hare. In that game, nothing is ever going to surprise me. That's the reason I don't like to play it, because it's such a rivalry that I know they say, oh, just throw it all out. But really, in that game, especially at Jordan-Hare, I just don't ever know what's going to go on down there. And I just leave it alone and just enjoy the entertainment. You know, they run that play. I was listening to the read back on it. You know, they called it Gravedigger. It's fourth and goal. He's from the 31. Hits him there in the corner. I was just, how are you rushing two, dropping seven with a spy on Milrow, and you don't have somebody, you know, why are you in man coverage at that point? I have no idea. But anyway, nor here nor there. We made money last week, Scott, and we have one weekend left until we get to the Army-Navy game. It's championship weekend. I'm ready to roll. What's our record as we get ready to go into this championship weekend?
71-55-2, because I'm counting that Ole Miss game as a push last week because we call it at 10.
Speaking of push, did you see ESPN Bet launched? Yes. Did you?
How do you damage your brand that fast, that soon, okay, with a stupid rule?
Time out. For those of you that don't know, so ESPN has obviously been floundering around. I mean, the CEO of Disney came out this week and even said, our woke politics have cost the company money. I'm not getting into political things, but I'm telling you, they are looking for ways to grasp it more. And betting is the biggest thing in the space right now. Well, Penn Gaming had a deal with Barstool. ESPN pushed them out. They gave Barstool back to Portnoy. We're going to make ESPN Bet, which is easily could be the biggest brand if they wanted it to be in a couple of years.
No doubt about
it. It's in everybody's pocket. It's in everybody's pocket, right? And they've got more money to go after this stuff. And within the first 3 weeks, some cat already has a five-game parlay that lands on a push in the Eagles game, and they void the bet. It's can't you lose? And pushes lose, which I've never seen that at a house rule of any casino that I've ever been to. I mean, I know you got to check the house rules and there's weird stuff, but I've never heard of that. And it was just, I'll be shocked.
Every other casino in America rolls it to a four-game parlay.
Absolutely. I mean, that's
one of them, of course. Dumbest thing, you cannot kill your brand like that. And it's just stupidity. Nothing. I mean, over minimal money. You just can't do it. I mean, just you can't do it because there are too many people getting into the space. Speaking of gambling, how about the sneaky, crazy move that nobody's watching? The Adelson family buying the Mavericks.
Well, they're not buying all of it. They're buying just controlling interest.
And controlling interest, but they're home. But they have control. But they have bought the gym as well.
Oh,
so, gotcha. They are going to have the ability, because look, gaming's coming to Texas. It's just a matter of time. Shocking that the Adelson family, again, not to get into politics here, one of the few Republican families in that space, and then boom, they land this deal in Texas. How long is it before they've got a gigantic gambling deal down there at American Airlines as to be the base of business? This could be the biggest move a company's ever made that is completely opposite of what people are looking at that's ever taken place. Because people are like, oh, they want to own a sports team. No, they want gambling. And that's what they want. And now they got a seat at the table to go lobby all those guys and do all of that in state and have an interest. And wow, of all the things I was expecting, that was not one of them. I guarantee you, gambling's legal in Texas the next 24, 36 months.
I hope so. With that being said, Scotty, let's get this thing rolling. We're going to do the podcast a little bit different this week. We're going to go into it, and we are going to conquer this thing game by game. Scotty and I have not broken down games prior to. We may have our own bets. If we match up on a bet, we'll call it a best bet that we've got for that situation. Scotty, we are starting with the first game that I've got. We're going to go with the Liberty, New Mexico State Conference Championship for CUSA, baby. You know how long it's been since New Mexico State has been to a conference championship?
No, I have no idea, but this ought to be good. Gotta be a while.
Dwight Eisenhower was in the White House the last time New Mexico State won a conference championship in college football. He put the interstate system together, and they need it in Conference USA because you got to drive all over the fucking place if you want to go see all these teams. This is an interesting matchup. This is a rematch from earlier on this season. These teams have already played. This line right now is floating around Liberty minus 11. New Mexico State, we've been on them a lot the last couple of weeks. Kind of a dog. I faded them out last week thinking they wouldn't get something against Jackson State. Going back and looking at game one, Salter, the quarterback for Liberty, played about as good as he could play. And, you know, there was a lot of folks that were really concerned. Could he handle Jamie Chadwell's offense? What was going to go on there? He lit it up in that game. And on the flip side, Diego Pavia for New Mexico State, we've talked about him, dude. He's a dog. He couldn't get it done. He was probably one of the worst games he's played all season. Had a couple of turnovers in there. I think he only threw for like $180, somewhere in that spot. I'm taking the points, and I'm going New Mexico State. I'm going to take the 11, New Mexico State against Liberty, getting it done Friday night. I think they're going to stay within the number, but I do think Liberty wins the game. I like the defense for New Mexico State. I think Jerry Kill may try to play a little bit of a keep-away game with New Mexico State's offense. And I think that they've improved as the season's gone on, so I think they can pull this off. So I'm going to take the points. I'm going to take New Mexico State in this one.
Wow, you like New Mexico State, Hunter. 50, they lost early in the season at Liberty, 33-17, so yes. When they were up there. So a 50-point total coming out. Over-under in this is 56.5. I think some of that is because Liberty has been playing better. I can't believe these teams have 22 wins between them. That really is wild to me. So it should be interesting. I do think it's going to be a low-scoring ball game. And I think that's the way I'm going to go. I think I like under 56.5 here is the play that I like, is under 56.5. If I took it, I probably would go New Mexico State. It's hard to beat a team twice, even though they're both on the road. And Liberty clearly is the better football team. I think there is more motivation for the team that's already lost this ball game to come in. They got a little more grit in their teeth. The other guy's like, I already beat these guys in Mexico State again. You know, here we go. So I think I probably would agree with you in that I would take New Mexico State plus the points. But my favorite play of this is the under 56.5.
So we're correlated, but we don't have a best bet on that one. The next game, Scotty, Allegiant Stadium, Saturday, Friday night, Oregon, Washington. Over-under here is 66. Washington's getting 9.5 points. Why is that interesting? Because they were favored by 3.5 early in the season when they hosted Oregon that came in there. Washington's still undefeated. They're 12-0. Oregon, obviously, 11-1, with their only loss being the Washington game early on in the season. Oregon's also 9-2-1 against the number, whereas Washington's 5-6. You could argue that these teams after that game have kind of gone in a different direction a little bit, whereas Oregon's getting a lot of hype around probably being one of the better teams in the country. Washington's schedule was not easy, nor was Oregon's, but, I mean, they muddled their way through it, and here they are. I'm going to let you put your pick down first in this one.
I'm going to take the points. I just don't think there's this much difference between these football teams. Oregon's electric. They spread everybody out. They've been out athleting a lot of guys. And we talked about this last week about the Heisman. Nick said throwing the football down the field. I mean, these are short throws. I think there's going to be a lot of coming up, making plays in front. I think we're going to get a very similar game to what we got last time. I do think Oregon's going to win the football game because I think they're playing better. But at the end of the day, Washington's been a really good football team. I just think 9.5 is too many. But I do think Oregon's going to win the football game.
I have got a Washington ticket at plus 360 for them to win the Pac-12 championship in pocket. I cannot hedge it at this point without putting a lot of money down on Oregon because the number's so out of hand. So I will be playing, if I play Washington plus 9.5, I'm kind of hoping the public even comes in and we can get that over a 10. I'm almost tempted to tease a couple of these games like you might do an NFL spot, but haven't quite gotten there yet because there's not really a key number I can jump through. It'll get me over 14. But I'm going to go with Washington the points. We'll pair up on that one. Washington plus 9.5 in Allegiant Stadium set Friday night. I'm excited for this one. Next one, Scotty, Big 12, Oklahoma State and Texas. Oklahoma State over-under is 55. Texas is laying 15.5. This line's been like a runaway train since it came out. Opened at 13.5, all the way up to 15.5. Texas is 11-1 straight up, with their only loss being to Oklahoma earlier in the season. Oklahoma State lost to, what was it, South Alabama. They lost another couple of bad ones. They lost to UCF that they've got in there. But the win that got them in this game was beating Oklahoma in what we think could be the last Bedlam series that we're going to see. I like this game at 13.5. I don't know. At 15.5, I might pass. Oklahoma State has looked like shit the last several weeks. They should have lost to BYU. I didn't think they were going to pull that one off. Texas, at the same time, is playing for some style points. So I would lean Texas in this spot, but there's not a whole lot I can do with this number. And at 15.5, I'm going to pass.
Yeah, you're talking about teasing. This might be a good number for your tees. Bump Washington up and bump Texas down. I think you got to play Texas here if you're going to play it. Oklahoma State has looked terrible, candidly, the last 3 weeks. But Texas looked bad a couple times too. But Texas was battling the injury bug when they, you know, when they came to this game. You look at their common opponents, and it does not look like this line ought to be 15.5. But Oklahoma State has just not been very good. I expect a pretty even crowd, actually. The ticket prices of the tickets really shot up when Oklahoma State qualified. So that means they bought some tickets this game. They came pretty full bore when they played Baylor a couple of years ago. Yeah. But what'd they do? They went down there and gagged it at Baylor a couple of years ago. So, I there's nothing to say that they're going to play well. I think Texas is your opportunity, but if we're looking for a tease, you're talking, baby. Bring us down to 9.5, and I think you may have something there. So
we'll see. Key numbers in college football are completely different than the NFL. If you're talking about teasers, if you don't know what a teaser is, it's when you combine two games together, either the totals, the score. You could do same game. Wouldn't recommend that. But you see them pretty commonly in FNL. You're typically paying -110 to -120, and you're able to move a line 6 points in either direction. So that's what he's talking about if you've never bet a teaser before. I just don't like what Bowman's been doing from Oklahoma State. He's not impressed me. And I think this Texas defense is good. I really do. And I think that's where the difference is going to be is I think Bowman's going to struggle to rip the top off of Texas' defense. And I just think they're going to be able to box up Ollie Gordon back there. And so we'll see. But I don't have any play on it as of yet. Scotty, next one's all to you, brother. We're going to be at Ford Field, MAC Championship, Miami of Ohio and Toledo. I'll set this one up for you. Over-under here is 44. Toledo's laying 8 as we record. This is an interesting game. Miami of Ohio, since they lost their quarterback a couple of weeks ago, has not really been the same offensively. They've gone to more of a grounded pound, but they've got a strong defense. That's got them to a 10-2 straight up number and a 9-3 against the spread. Toledo, on the other hand, is 11-1 straight up with an early loss in the season, and they're 6-6 against the number in this one. Is Daquan Finn and the boys going to be able to get it done at Toledo and get this squad moving to cover this number against Miami of Ohio? Are we looking for a grinded-out, tough, punch-you-in-the-face game with Miami of Ohio's defense trying to keep them in this one?
I like Toledo to get it done, mainly because Miami of Ohio has been one-dimensional. Since that quarterback change, they have to run the football. I think Toledo gets this done. A little surprised this number is as short as it is. I think some of that's got to do with Crandall being on some lists for potential coaching jobs, things like that. And I know they've had a few injuries, but I still don't think this – I don't think this line is big enough. I like Toledo -8. They're the best team in the MAC, and I really don't think it's that close. They have dominated this league over the years, and I think it continues.
I will ride with you in Toledo at -8. I don't think offensively, if Toledo can get it rolling at all, I don't think Miami Ohio can keep up. And Toledo's defense is a good unit as well. It's not like it's a walkover. Used to, they had a great offense and they couldn't stop anybody. This is a much better defensive unit. I'll ride with you on Toledo. So we got two bets now at that point. Toledo -8. Next one I got, baby, Boise State, UNLV. This will be the second championship game that's played at Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas. No one would be expecting either one of these teams to be there. Boise State came in as kind of the favorite to run this, but midway through the season, they fired their coach. They look like shit. Andy Avalos is gone. They've got players jumping in the portal weeks ago. Team ended up finishing up 7-5, 6-4-2 against the number. UNLV is 9.
Be careful this past weekend, though, big boy.
UNLV is 9-3 against straight up and 10-2 against the number. A lot of people from UNLV never bought back in after Brumfield got hurt early on in the season. They were counting on him to do it. The backup quarterbacks come in and played fantastic. Boise State will be back with Tylan Wallace. I think this Tylan Green. This weekend, I think their quarterback got hurt as well. But I don't know who he's going to throw the ball to. I mean, if you go look at their top three wide receivers, they're not on the roster or they're hurt. Their number one receiver still is not on the roster. He jumped in the portal after week 8. And so I don't know how they're going to blow the top off of this. I think UNLV fans are going to show up. And so I think it's going to be a great home field advantage. I think the wrong team's favored. Give me the go-go offense and the Rebel Roller plus 2.5, and I'll take the money line.
Yeah, I want the Rebel Roller. I think you got this deal. I agree with you on money line, too. I think UNLV is the play. So it should be a lot of fun out in, because this game is actually in Boise, correct?
No. This is Allegiant, baby. This is the Mountain West Championship. They do not do home and home anymore. They've moved it to Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas. So this will be a game played on UNLV's home turf.
I love it. Let's go UNLV, baby. Let's get it done.
I am hoping we get some big UNLV celebrity graduates out there that show up for the game. Get a little Guy Fieri. Get you a little Flo Rida. Bet you didn't know Flo Rida went to UNLV, did you?
I had no idea that Flo Rida went to UNLV, but there's not a whole lot of – I mean, can we talk about the Maloofs? I mean, let's talk about billionaire UNLV alumni.
There we go, brother. I mean, I'm hoping it's a big turnout. I'm excited about this game. Let's go Running Rebels plus 2.5. Get that one done. Next one that we got here, the American. This is an interesting one. SMU and Tulane. This game will be played in New Orleans. This one is at the home field of the Tulane Green Wave. Over-under here is at 47. Tulane's laying 3.5. If you were to tell me that you were going to bet an SMU-Tulane game last year with a total of 47, I would have told you you're crazy. SMU comes in here 10-2 straight up, 7-5 against the number. Tulane comes in 11-1 straight up, 5-7 against the number. Couple of injuries that you want to talk about. Preston Stone, the quarterback at SMU that's been great, he's out. Injured, not playing in this.
How old was he in that game, Mark?
I have no idea.
They are gas canning them. And I have no idea why he's in there flinging it all over the yard. And then he gets hurt.
Yeah. But he's out this week. And Tulane, on that flip side, they really haven't gotten their offense going. You kind of kept thinking it was going to go with Michael Pratt as in the quarterback that started for him last year. Coming into this one, and he just hasn't been able to do it. They've still a solid unit with Willie Fritz. It's hard not to back Tulane. Their one loss came against Ole Miss at home, but they started a backup quarterback in that game, if you don't remember. Where I'm going with this one, Scotty, I'm going under the total at 47. I think this one's going to be a big defensive slugfest. SMU's defense, it'll give up some yards in the run, but you can't. They do not give up explosive plays. And Tulane hasn't proven that they can.
They're giving up less points than Tulane. Yeah, and Tulane's known as a defensive football team.
I'm going under 47 in the total in this one.
I like this. I kind of get on board with the under. I have not thought of that, but you're 100% right. And Tulane's games as a whole have not – really been. I mean, you look at them, they're 2-10 to the over.
To the under.
They're 10-2 to the under. Yeah. They're 2-10 on the over. Yeah, so I can hop on board with that. No doubt about it. Give me the under 47.
All right, we got three bets next. SEC Championship. This one will be in Atlanta. I was there last year for the Georgia. Do you know what's weird when Georgia plays in the SEC Championship? They don't serve drinks as in alcohol in the stadium. You have to be seated in the area where you can get underneath the stands because apparently UGA does not sell booze at their home game, so they don't sell booze at the game either, which that sucks, by the way. Anyway, Georgia and Bama will be playing matched up in this one. Over-under here is 54.5. Bama's getting 5.5 points. Georgia comes in 12-0 straight up. 4-7 against the number. They didn't cover a lot of games early on. Bama comes into this game 11-1 with their only loss being to the University of Texas, and they're 8-4 straight up with a huge win that they just came off of in the Iron Bowl. How are you playing this one?
I'm taking Georgia, and I'm going to tell you why. Just right here. When they're playing somebody good, they cover. Ole Miss, cover. Tennessee, cover. Florida, rival, cover. You keep going, and I'm almost to how many games that they've covered. Really, Missouri is the only really good football team they've played that they didn't cover, and I thought that was the best game Missouri's played all year. Now, when you start looking at who they didn't cover against, Georgia Tech, Vanderbilt, a bad Auburn team, and Auburn is a rival, so that is the one thing that goes different. UAB, now that was a 40-point line. South Carolina, they just don't get fired up for these average teams. I mean, that is, they pushed against Ball State. I mean, but when they play somebody that matters, it matters, and they play well. They are a better football team than Alabama. That's the bottom line. I think they win this game. I think they win it by 10. I think Georgia's undefeated. I think they're playing for a national championship.
I agree with you. I laid it early with Georgia at -6. Didn't get the best of it. I'm actually thinking I'm going to tease. I actually do have this game in a teaser that I teased it down to 0, tied to a pro game from last week that I'm sitting on an open ticket from. And I may lace a few more in here. Georgia is as good a program as Bama has been over the dynasty that Nick Saban's created. And I don't say that very lightly. He's done a fantastic job recruiting players, getting them to buy in. Quarterback play has actually been really good. And if you haven't had a chance to watch Beck play, he's had done a hell of a job this season. And they still have a roster that causes mismatches all over the place. I think this Bama team has gotten so much better than when they started the season. And I attribute that to Saban. After the South Florida game, getting the coaches and getting the players in, it's like, look, guys, we can win this thing, but y'all need to get on board, and we're going in this direction. Because since that South Florida game, this Bama team has played much better. I know last week with the Auburn game was a slip-up, but it was a huge rivalry. Talked about it in Jordan-Hare. It's another great Saban coaching job. Now, granted, if they lose this game, don't win the SEC, and whatever pick, you know, New Year's Day 6th game they play in, I will bet all I've got against them because they won't give a shit when they show up for that game. And they've done it time and time again, but we'll wait till we get there. I'm taking Georgia. The other thing I'm going to take Georgia at, I would tell you to go look now, is you can still get Georgia +235 to +255 in some books to win the national championship. I've got two units I put down on that. I just can't see Georgia getting into the tournament with who we've got in this thing and losing this game. When you look, they outmatch everybody thus far. I like what they're doing. There's no chatter around this team. It's just, let's go win football games and let's keep on moving. There's a lot of players on this team that are going to be in the NFL that people can't name. I mean, this is the bigger no-name team that they've had over the last two championship runs that they've made. So give me Uga, lay it, 5.5 points. Scotty,
I'm gonna tell you before we get off of this game.
Yeah,
I think there may be some points in this game.
I agree with you.
This number is pretty short at 54.5. You know, the Mississippi State game went over that. Ole Miss did not, but I don't think Ole Miss played very well at all. Tennessee went right at this number. They went to 54. Obviously, LSU sailed over it. So Auburn was very close to it. None of those teams are as good on offense as Georgia is. I don't think they're going to be able to hold them down. Georgia can be run on. They can be run on. And so it's going to be interesting to see. I think over is not a bad play in this game, too. I'm not scared of that at all. You're looking for things to bet on. I would tell you, you talk about teasing. go on and give you a teaser to Washington up to 15.5. And Georgia up to 11.5. I think you got you a winner.
Yeah, you'd be teasing Georgia down to 0 is what you'd be teasing there.
Bama's got a shot in this game.
I don't think so. I think Georgia walks them. I think they walk the dog on this one, put him to bed. Next one, Scotty. Next game, we got Sun Belt Championship. 10 out of the 12 teams in the Sun Belt have qualified to go bowling, including James Madison. It looks like they'll get a bowl bid. Good for the NCAA for getting something right. You got Appy State and Troy. This game will be played at Troy. Appy State, 8-4 straight up, 6-5-1 against the number. Troy, 10-2 against the straight up and 7-5 against the number. I got nothing on this game, to be honest with you. I would think, if I'm going anywhere, I'd go under in this game. I think Troy's defense can step up and play, and I just don't know if they're going to be able to exploit Appalachian State's defense enough here. And I would go under, but that's just a lean for me. I don't have a true play on this one.
Appy has played really well.
Last couple
really
weeks.
Really well the last 4 weeks.
Yeah.
I mean, they have played really well. This team kind of floundered around a little bit. A little earlier in the season, but man, they have come alive. the last 4 weeks. They obviously beat James Madison, gave them their only loss on the road, hosting game day. They pounded Georgia Southern last week, pounded Georgia State on the road, pounded Marshall the week before that. So I actually think this, just the same way, is too many points. It feels like this game may be closer than that. You know, I think Troy is probably the better football team, and obviously having the home game gives you an advantage. They are playing better as well, but I think this is just a few too many points. I would take Appy in the points.
There you go. ACC Championship. This one will be played in Charlotte Saturday night. Louisville comes into this one. They'll be playing a beat-up Florida State team. Florida State's laying 2.5. Louisville, 10-2 straight up, 6-6 against the number. Florida State, 12-0 straight up, 7-5 against the number. I don't have a play, but I will probably end up playing Florida State minus 2.5. I like Norvell's team. I like the coaching that he's gotten done here. I think this defense can stand up and get it done against the Louisville team that I think is flawed. And even with a backup quarterback, I think this team can get it done. And if they get a chance to run it up, they're going to go, too, because they've got to show something of a little bit of a – you know, a little bit of a sexy contest to see if they got a chance to get in the championship tournament. So I would lay Florida State minus 2.5 in this one.
I'm going against you here. I would say take Louisville. The quarterback just scares me. Man, they may be playing 13 quarterback this week. You know, we got rattled around, and we had the 13 guy had to play a little bit of a series. So I'll be interested to see, because I think that was concussion protocol that they had him in. At the end of that ball game. So something to watch there to find out, is it second or 13 quarterback? But at the end of the day, I just think Florida State's very, very flawed without a great quarterback. And it sucks because Jordan Travis is such a fun player to watch, and watching him and candidly watching Florida State be back Florida State is fun.
It is fun.
And they were such a great team. We got people that are listening to this that don't remember from 1986 to 2003, when their ass missed the top five about three times and won a couple of natties. And if it hadn't been for Miami winning a bunch of natties, they'd have won the natty every year, because that was the only team they lost to. And most of the time it was because they missed a field goal at the last second. So it was a crazy good team with Bobby Bowden. It is fun to watch them back. And this is not a shot on Florida State at all, because I think they gassed in these guys. Jordan Travis is out there. I just think it's really hard in college football to lose a player like that and go beat good football teams on the neutral fields. And I think Louisville's a good football team. I don't think they're a great football team, but I think they're a good football team. I think they're well coached. I will say, I think it's better for college football, because without Travis, I don't think they're one of the best four teams in the country. If they win this ball game, they're going to make the playoff, as they should, because I don't know how you put a one-loss team over them, even without Travis, even though they're not, without him, one of the best four teams. And I know they can, but, boy, you talk about a lot of mess. There's going to be a hot man, bad end, that the ACC has been a good league. It's got a winning record against the Southeastern Conference, I think, by a couple of games. So, I mean, they certainly have proven that they're a good enough league, if an undefeated champion comes out, that they ought to have a shot to play for the Natty. I've always said this, somebody ought to have to beat them to lose. I still think that's the case, even though I don't think without Jordan Travis they're one of the best four teams in the country. I think Georgia or Michigan kills them. But I'm going to cheer for Louisville. I'm going to pick Louisville. I'm not going to bet on this game, I will tell you. I'm not betting, but if I did,
I will be laying it with Florida State in this one once I get confirmation that the backup quarterback's going to play. Last game, Scotty, Big Ten Championship, another game settled in Detroit. Over-under here is 35. Iowa's getting 22 points. Michigan 12-0 straight up, 6-5 against the number. Iowa's 10-2 straight up, 6-5 against the number. I'm going to bet a derivative line in this one, and I am going to take Iowa under 7 points for a team total. I don't see any way that their offense is going to be able to move the ball against this Michigan defense. I think Michigan getting the win last week, it's got a lot of momentum. This is something they know what they're going to get themselves into. It'll be a physical game, but Iowa couldn't handle it when they ran up against the best team they played all season, and that would be Penn State. And Penn State was able to get it done against them. I don't think they're going to be able to slow anything down Michigan can do here. I would lay it with Michigan, frankly, but I'm going to bet the team total in Iowa. I think they get shut out.
Yeah, I picked Iowa, and we took it on the podcast, and I'm the one that talked us into it because I thought, man, this defense is good enough. You know, that they were off. They couldn't do anything on offense. And now they got a backup quarterback trying to do it. And I just don't know how in the world they're going to do it. And, oh, their best defender's out. You know, I'm out. I'm taking Michigan. It's a lot of points. But I'll take the Wolverines. They get Jimmy Harbaugh back. I do want to say one thing before we get off of this about Jerome Moore. Has anybody ever given a better job interview as an interim than that guy's done? He's been extremely eloquent when he's spoken post-game in the interviews. I thought he did a tremendous job calling plays, taking some risks, doing some things because that was a good football team. That guy's going to be a head coach in the next 18, 24 months. If Harbaugh goes on, I don't know if he's not the guy they pick. But that guy's going to get a head coaching job.
I'd agree. Let's lay it under. Let's lay it with Michigan. Take the Iowa team total under. It's gross, but you can get down on it. You can actually bet the yes, no in a couple of sports books. And the no, the yes for Iowa to score a touchdown is paying +150. So if you think they can score, it might have to be a defense or special teams touchdown, then you should be able to take it. But, Scotty, all that being said, what are your favorite plays this weekend? I have two. I'll give you mine first. I'm going Georgia, -5.5.
You like what? Say that again. I'm sorry.
I'm going Georgia, -5.5, my top play of the week.
Yep, that is my favorite play of the week. I would agree with that. And I will tell you, I like Toledo. I think on the turf, that offense is going to get it done. I don't think Miami can keep up. I like Toledo, too. I think laying 8 is a pretty good number. But I feel good about Michigan, too. I like Michigan. So, anyway, that's the three games that I will be playing. We'll see how it goes. I will play Washington, too, I'll tell you, just because I have liked that team all year. I'm going to continue to ride them because Oregon doesn't stretch the field. Before we get off one last time, not that there's anybody listening, but I will tell you, I know 3 or 4 people that vote for the Heisman. And if a couple of those dumbasses can get a vote, then we need one. And if you're not voting for Jaden Daniels, you're an idiot because that guy flings it. He's got more touchdowns of over 20 yards, and he added some Saturday and got one called back for a bogus holding call, but that's a whole nother story. Then Bo Nix has got 20-yard completions on the year. Watch damn football if you're voting on the Heisman. I love Bo Nix. He's a great kid. It's a great story. Couldn't be happier for him. He doesn't deserve the Heisman. Bottom line, if LSU's defense is average, they're undefeated.
I would agree with you. The other play I got is the Rebel Roller, +2.5, and on the money line. And I'm going to throw a few shekels down on Jaden Daniels at plus money to win the Heisman, with hopes being that Penix comes out and somehow gets the win here. Maybe we get some road Bo Nix from back in the SEC days, and Jalen Daniels sneaks the Heisman out. So those will be my plays for this weekend. We'll put all these out on Twitter. Folks, give us some reviews. Give us some love. We're going to try to do something for the bowl competition. I haven't figured it quite out yet, so we're going to put some things together. But we look forward to your feedback. We always enjoy that. It is such a gift. We've gotten some nice notes, comments, everything else. We enjoy everything we do. We hope you've made a few bucks and enjoyed college football. That being said, we'll talk to you next week.